It's good to see everyone out this morning. As we've been announcing for some time, we've got Pastor David Sorensen speaking on the marriage and the family today and also Monday and Tuesday night. So really looking forward to hearing him preach on this. As we know, families are breaking down all the time, all over the world. And you know, working in EMS, I see it. I see it so often, and I also see it even in the EMS community. And lately, we've been seeing a lot of our EMS practitioners really going through a lot of turmoil. And when you break it down, a large part of it is because they do not have, many of them do not have, the family background that a solid believer usually has. They don't have the same network. Their fabric is destroyed because of the family being so broken. And so they don't have the same coping mechanisms. And so Brother Sorensen's going to be preaching both on marriage and the family this week, and I look forward to hearing what the Lord has laid upon his heart. He has published a book on raising children, and I was going through my library at our house, and I actually came across, I have at least one or two extra copies of his book. I realized I've purchased it a few times in a few different places. So I will put it in the church bookstore. So, and another great passion of Pastor Sorensen is the King James Version. And he's written some books on that, and he's currently writing one right now, looking at Codex Sinaiticus and Codex Vaticanus. And he was just kind of giving me a little bit of telling me a little bit about what he's doing there this morning. I think that's going to be a great book when it's done. We'll have to get some copies for our church bookstore. So we have also Lake City Baptist Church up in Williams Lake live streaming our service today. Brother Lenvoy had some dental issues, and so he was calling me to see if there's any chance that my dad could come and preach for him. And then I told him about the services here, and he said, well, you know, why don't we live stream them? So that's what they're doing. So I hope our connection works well and that they are able to hear the message. So ask Pastor Sorensen if he'd come at this time and preach to us. So we usually go till about 10 to 10, thereabouts, 5 to 10.
All right. Thank you, brother. Well, I'm delighted to be with you here at Berean Baptist Church in Kamloops, British Columbia. I've been to Canada numbers of times, but I've never been to British Columbia. And this is a first for me, and I am delighted to be here with you today. I was hoping to see a blue sky and sunshine, but maybe that'll come tomorrow. My name is David Sorensen. I'm pastor emeritus of North Star Baptist Church in Duluth, Minnesota. I started the church in 1989 and just this past summer retired as senior pastor. My associate has taken over now, and I'm, you say, what does pastor emeritus mean? It means retired pastor. But traveling the country, and actually the continent, preaching. This is the second time here in about 2 months that I've been in Canada. And going over to Sherwood Park on Wednesday after this meeting and preaching for Brother Harness there, and I'm looking forward to that, to being with him again. But I have a wife, my wife Pam and I, we've been married for about 46 and a half years, and we indeed have had a heavenly marriage. In fact, I've written a book about it entitled Have a Heavenly Marriage. And the fact of the matter is, we've had a heavenly marriage, and it's all her fault. I had some minor eye surgery. Well, it didn't turn out to be so minor, but eye surgery, let's put it that way, here about 2 weeks ago. And the long and the short, the doctor's given me some medicine after the fact that has made my voice scratchy. And it's made me drowsy, and so if I fall asleep during the messages today, will someone please wake me up? Also, we have two daughters. My daughter Heidi lives near us. She's a registered nurse. She is a pillar in our church. And my daughter Heather lives in the Dallas, Texas area and is very much involved in Christian music writing music, composing music, arranging music, and performing music. I guess you could say she's a professional musician. But this morning and going now into the next several messages, I want to give you a foundation for a Christian home and a Christian family. I assume this is the church family here this morning. I don't know if there's any visitors here. But I'm going to share something here this morning that's foundational, and you say, well, you can turn to Psalm 1, incidentally. You're going to say, well, this doesn't really have anything to do with the family. Oh, yes, it does. We're getting into very foundational material here today. And what we're touching on in this hour and in the next hour is, I believe, the keys to a heavenly marriage, to a sweet, godly Christian marriage. It gets down to Christianity 101. Now, tonight in the evening hour, and when's the evening hour? 2 o'clock this afternoon? Okay, this afternoon, in the afternoon hour. Let me rephrase that. We'll be touching on some the Bible outline for a godly marriage, a heavenly marriage. And by the way, it's really complicated. There's point one and point two. There's one point for the husband, there's one point for the wife. I think he can probably handle that. But it's based on what we're going to look at here this morning. And then we're going to be looking at building character in our children and building godly convictions in our home and in our family on Tuesday night. But this morning, read with me together here in Psalm 1, beginning in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Our Father, this morning, as we look at very basic matters in the Christian life, in the Christian experience, and ultimately in the Christian family, Father, help us now to understand these truths, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here today, we're looking at the preface to the great book of Psalms. Spurgeon called it the Treasury of David. And in this short psalm is truth which pertains to this day. Now, David, I don't think, was writing about the Christian home here per se, but the principles here absolutely pertain to a Christian home and a Christian family. We're going to look at six simple but profound key words here today that pertain to the foundations of Christian living. Number one this morning, six words. Word number one this morning is the word separation. Separation. Notice here in verse 1, blessed is the man, or I might take the liberty to say the woman, but blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That is talking about getting out of the world. Separating from the world. Separation has never been a popular topic. It wasn't 3,000 years ago. It's not today. My father was a part of the fundamentalist movement coming out of the old American Baptist Convention back in 1947. It was not popular then. It is not popular now. But separation. And God has promised to bless those who separate from the world. And if for no other reason, I'll be a separatist. And notice here, the psalm begins with three negatives. You say, shouldn't you accentuate the positive? And stress the positive? And why do you fundamentalists always have to be touching on the negative? Well, did you know that for every positive, there is an equal and opposite negative? That's a law of physics. And if you don't believe me, after church today, go out and open the hood on your car and take the cable off the negative terminal on your battery and see what happens. Nothing. Your car won't start. There has to be the negative with the positive. And the book of Psalms begins with three negatives. And notice the first one. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, the influence and the philosophy of the world. And number two, blessed is the man who standeth not in the way of sinners. Now that word way there has the idea of place or location. In junior church back home, the kids sometimes sing the song, the places I used to go don't go there anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. And I don't know about here, I suspect it's not much different than where I live, but there's places all over our town up for the ungodly. I mean, on Saturday night, the bars and the taverns are full of the ungodly. Unfortunately, just about every other night of the week as well. All over our area, our casinos. I don't know what it's like up here in Canada, but in America, just about every Indian band, now there's, we're an Indian country in our area there in northern Minnesota and northwestern Wisconsin, and the Indian reservations, I know you call them reserves up here, but the Indian reservations, just about every one of them has a casino. And you won't find me in a casino, folks. It is a place of sinners. And somebody said to me not too long ago, it was our neighbors, well, let's go out to eat. And he said, hey, I know we can get good food at a good price. I said, where's that? He said, at the casino up the road. I said, no, thank you. I'm not going there. Why? Because as a matter of principle, I won't go to such a place. Well, he was an unsaved man. But he didn't understand that. But that's a place of sinners. I was at the Calgary airport yesterday for 7 hours. Overjoy. And it got to be supper time last night, and I was kind of looking around for a place to get something to eat. And there was this place there. Looked, you know, for all appearances, looked like a decent place, but it was called a brew house. No, thank you. I'm not going in there to eat. But blessed is the man that standeth not in the place or the way of sinners. And number three, blessed is the man that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. And the world is full of places of influencing. In America, public education has become a place of indoctrination of the philosophy of the world. But the greater point here tonight in verse, or this morning in verse 1 is this, and that is get out of the world. It's not rocket science. There's nothing complicated about it. Getting out of the world and the influence of the world. And trust me, in a Christian home where the world comes into that home, the world will strengthen the old nature. The world will strengthen the flesh. Pardon me. And that is where all the trouble starts. The old nature. Blessed is the man that gets out of the world and the world out of him. And so in verse 1 is the basic thought of getting out of the world. There's nothing complicated about that. I mean, there's no end to the influences of the world. The garbage that comes over the television set. And I'm not opposed to TV per se, but you better be careful about what you watch and about what you let into your house. There's garbage out there. The movies and Hollywood and all the things that are out there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. And so separation, getting out of the world. Moving along quickly here this morning. Number two, and this is where I really want to go. Scripture. Notice verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Delighting in the law of the Lord. Loving the law of the Lord. We're talking about the Word of God here today, the Bible. Say, do you delight in God's Word? I mean, down in the United States, it's football season. And everybody has their football team. Duluth, Minnesota is right on the border with Wisconsin. Our church is 3 miles from the border of Wisconsin. And if you live in Minnesota, most people are Minnesota Vikings fans. If you live in Wisconsin, most people are Green Bay Packer fans. And for some folks, they take that very seriously. Not me. I learned long ago you don't hit your emotions to a sports team because you sure get let down quickly. But the people delight in their sports teams. But hey, do you delight in the Word of God? His delight is in the law of the Lord. But notice, not only that, in his law doth he meditate day and night. Rare is the day when I don't begin the day with the Lord. When I'm at home, and it'll be the same when I'm here in Canada, 6 o'clock in the morning, you'll find this preacher in the Word in the morning. He said, that's because you're a preacher. No, it's because I'm a Christian. And I'm a little off schedule here. I'm 2 hours behind on time now here from what my body clock is used to. But 6 o'clock this morning, I was in the Word and spending time in the Word. And at home, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the Word. My wife and I are boaters. We have a boat that we maintain on Lake Superior. And when we're on the boat in the summer out on Lake Superior, 6 o'clock in the morning, I'm in the Word. Every single day. Day in and day out. And when there are days when a rare day, when I'm not, something happened. I had to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to the hospital and have prayer with somebody or some other disaster happened. And I miss being in the Word. It's like not eating that day. Your stomach is growling. You feel empty on the inside. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You say, preacher, does that mean I'm supposed to spend all day and all night in the Bible? No. But I would suggest to you it means minimally starting the day and ending the day with the Lord. To begin the day and to end the day in the Word of God. And folks, we're laying a foundation here for a godly home, for a godly family, for a happy home. This is foundational. And people try to build a happy Christian home and a sweet Christian family without the foundation. It doesn't work. I mean, there's got to be Christianity 101 before you get to Christianity 202. And by the way, 4 chapters a day will take you through the Word of God once a year. 3 chapters a day in the morning and 1 chapter a day in the evening. That's incidentally 20 minutes a day under normal circumstances and normal reading. And I won't go into the story of how I know that to be a fact, but I do. 20 minutes a day will take you through the Word of God in 1 year. And it's not the necessarily the objective of reading through the Bible once a year. The greater point is that you're spending time at the beginning of the day and at the end of the day as a minimum, day and night. Beginning the day, ending the day. And someone once said to me, well, Brother Sorensen, I believe that we should go to the Bible because we feel like it. And not because we have to or because we're supposed to. Well, the fact of the matter is, folks, if you wait until you feel like it, your time in the Word will be hit and miss and more miss than hit. Because there's many a day when I don't feel like it. And I get up and I've got a head cold or my sinuses are stuffy or I have a headache or I didn't sleep well that last night. And I don't feel like getting up and getting in the Word today. But I do anyway. It's called, incidentally, self-discipline. And disciplining ourselves to be in the Word. I have a set time every day. You already heard me tell you when it is. I have a specific time when I'm at home. Every day I go to that set place. I have a specific goal in reading every single day. Years ago, I had a preacher challenge me to read a large quantity of God's Word every single day, morning, noon, and night. I'm not necessarily saying you should do this, but he challenged me to do this, preacher, that I had regard to and have regard to. This is over 40 years ago, 43 years ago. And it came down to spending time every morning, noon, and night, every single day in God's Word. And I'm here to tell you that it changed my life. It's kept me straight theologically. It's kept me straight philosophically. It's kept me straight morally. It's kept me straight. I landed in a distant state some years ago. I was asked to come and speak there, and a fellow from the college came to the airport to pick me up. I'd never met him before, and I didn't know him, and he didn't know me. And driving from the airport back to the college, which was about an hour drive, he said to me, "Brother Sorensen, is there a book that has really influenced your life, that's really changed your life?" I said, "As a matter of fact, there is." And it wasn't what he was thinking about, it wasn't what he was looking for. But folks, you get in this book day and night, 365 days a year, and it'll change your life, and it'll change your marriage, and it'll change your family. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And as a pastor for about 48 years, I've watched many a young Christian, and I've watched some who get saved, and they make up their mind, and they determine they're going to be in the Word, and they are, and they do. And they begin to grow, and they take off, and they grow in the Lord. I'm thinking of a guy in our church back home. Talk about a trophy of grace. He was a convicted felon, convicted black felon, convicted drug gangbanger from Chicago that moved to Minnesota. Full of tattoos, and his wife, full of tattoos, white woman, basically white American Indian. But folks, those people got saved. And when they got saved, they began to grow, and they got into the Word. And it's cute, it's sweet. To this day, the lady's name is Samantha, she's about 27 years old, and she sends my wife, she texts my wife a verse every single day. It's not my wife texting her a verse every single day. It's this relatively young Christian texting my wife every single day. And they're growing in the Lord because they're in the Word every single day. And I've watched other Christians who, they get saved and they for whatever reason, they don't stay in the Word, and they make excuses about it. "Oh, I'm too busy, and I don't have time, and I don't understand." And they make all these excuses, but folks, it's only a matter of time and they fizzle out. And then their marriage starts to fall apart. But we're talking here about the glue that holds a Christian home together. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Well, number one, separation. Number two, scripture. Number three this morning, strength and stability. Notice verse 3. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." He shall be like a tree. Now, a tree is strong. When we built our home 26 years ago, we bought 6 acres of woods. And we had to cut down trees for the driveway, and cut down trees for the house side, and cut down trees for the septic field. I think I dropped around 200 trees. And I hated every one of them because I love trees and I hate to cut them down. But there's something solid about trees. And you drop a tree, especially a larger tree, folks, and some of you men know what I'm talking about. You can feel it in your feet because the ground shudders when that tree hits the ground. He shall be like a tree, their strength, the strongest creation in God's flora. It doesn't say he shall be like a dandelion. A tree. Now, he's the one that we're talking about, the guy or the gal for that matter, who gets out of the word, out of the world, I'm sorry, and into the word day and night. And notice, he shall be like a tree that's planted, rooted. Implicit is stability of life. He shall be like a tree that's planted, not a tumbleweed. And it's all predicated upon being in the word day and night. And notice the next phrase, planted by the rivers of water. When we bought our property there in northern Minnesota years ago, the acreage was primarily birch trees, really beautiful. But I quickly found out that those birch trees were dying out, and there was a number of problems. There was a birch blight that had been going through the region. It wasn't just our property, it was all over the region. There was a birch blight, and turns out, and talking to the DNR, that there was old age in those trees. They've been there for a long time, and there'd been drought, and we were losing them. And so, make a long story short, I went and bought 400 seedling spruce trees, you know, these 6-inch little guys, and planted them all around through our woods, and I didn't know a thing about it. I had no idea what I was doing. And I thought I was going to really help them out by fertilizing them, and I think I killed most of them. I'm not kidding you. And every year I'd try and get those little spruce trees to grow. And after 5, 8 years, 10 years, whatever, finally figured out the product to use. And we've got, I only have maybe 50 or 75 of them left. But they're growing. And some of those trees are 40 and 50 feet tall now. There's little fertilizer stakes that are specifically for those kind of trees. And I go out in the spring and you put those stakes around each tree, and it's a lot of work. And trust me, it's a lot of work. You got to beat a hole in the ground for every one of those little things and then drop them down in there. And it's in the spring, it's, well, mud and everything. But anyway, I've got them to grow finally. Much work, and those stakes are not cheap either. Well, here's where I'm telling a story. I'm building a case here. If you were to come by our church there, North Star Baptist Church in Duluth, Minnesota, right out in front of the church building, and we have acreage, about 10 acres that the church sits on, and it's not right in an urban or a housing development like you are here, right out in front of the property, at first glance it looks like the ditch, but in fact there is a trout stream running across the front of the property. And the DNR calls it a trout stream. I've never seen any fish in it. But that's another story for another day. But, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, a spruce tree started to grow there naturally. I don't know if a bird dropped a seed flying by or a wind blew a seed in or whatever. But there, right by the creek bed, there's a tree. And after 8 or 9 years, I mean, I did fertilize it with the right fertilizer. I didn't do anything to it. And that thing is 40, 50 feet high now. Didn't do a thing to it. But what was the difference? It was a tree planted by a river of water. And it has flourished. Now, that's the point that David is making. One who gets out of the world and one who is in God's word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Not only that, it says that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, fruitful. Fruitful spiritually. The internal fruit of the Spirit, we're going to touch on that here soon. And fruitful externally in winning other people to Christ. His leaf also shall not wither. I've learned this much with trees in our property, that when the top of a tree, the leaves start to wither, and the very top, I mean, that tree's in trouble. It's on its way to dying. His leaf also shall not wither. He's not going to fizzle out. And then notice the last phrase, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow. What a wonderful promise. How prospering spiritually, prospering in our family, prospering in our marriage, prospering in every area of life. But it's predicated upon getting out of the world and getting into the Word. Nothing complicated about that. And by the way, when we get into the Word on a regular basis, it's not hard to get out of the world. And God has promised to bless. Now, here's an interesting thought. Psalm 1 is actually a divinely inspired commentary in Joshua 1. There in Joshua 1:8, God said to Joshua, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." And God said, "I'll bless, I'll prosper those who spend time in my word on a regular basis." And I will tell you this, that you show me a husband and a wife, and they both spend time with the Lord each day. They both are, to that degree, are abiding with Christ. And as we'll see here in the next message, that leads to them walking in the Spirit, the new nature. They are going to have a happy relationship between themselves. Getting out of the world, getting into the Word. Well, we must hasten here. What time did you say you wanted me done? Pardon me?
In the next 10 minutes sometime.
Okay, quickly, we must move along. Number 4 here this morning, stubble. It says, the ungodly are not so. The ungodly don't have that stability. The ungodly don't have that blessing. The ungodly don't have that strength. They run to the psychotherapist, and they run to the psychologist. And their messages, or their lives, I should say, are a mess oftentimes. I went to my 50th high school class reunion. I went to a big public high school in Illinois and graduated in 1964. And 2 years ago, and met some of my classmates whom I've never seen in the last 50 years and probably never will see some of them again. But in hearing about their divorces and their financial distresses and their addictions and their habits and their instability and their unhappiness and their bitterness in life, the ungodly are not so. They don't have the blessing that God's people can have, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. You come to Duluth Superior and you cross the harbor. There's an interstate bridge that crosses from Minnesota to Wisconsin, the I-535 bridge. And as you're going into Wisconsin, going southbound, on the right-hand side, there are big grain elevators where grain comes in from Montana and North Dakota and western Minnesota, and it's international ships mostly, and very few downbound Great Lakers. But ships that go all over the world, and they gravity load them, and the grain is just literally dumped into those ships. And as it's dumped into the ships, there is dust coming up. You can see it as you drive by on the highway. And it's chaff. It's the dust, the byproduct of of the grain. And the wind blows it, whatever direction the wind is blowing that day. Inherently unstable, I should say. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Well, our time is gone. The greater point here today is to get out of the world and get into the Word, to build your life on the foundation of God's Word, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, but to meditate therein day and night, every single day. And you will lay a foundation for a happy home. And as we'll see in the next message this morning, to be able to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that truly is the key to a heavenly marriage. Our Father, thank you now for the principles and truths of thy word. Bless in the service to follow. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.